Joshua chapter 10. If you're physically able, would you stand with me as we read a portion of God's word this morning? Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like it before or after that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. You may be seated. As you're seated, a little experiment I'd like to try this morning. We won't get weird, don't worry. But I'd like you to take a deep breath. How about another one? Did you not prepare a study? This is all we're doing. No, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. But for the next 35 minutes, I mean, no work. Sit back. No emails. Put those iPads away. Unless it's a Bible program or a Bible note program, that's fine. But don't multitasking. Breathe again. Why does that feel so good? It's just breathing. Why does that feel so good? Could it be because it's so different from our normal lives? It's so different. I don't know about you, but I am always on the go. I have expectations of what I want to accomplish, what I want to achieve, and of course, others have expectations that they want to see me accomplish and get done for them. And sometimes it feels like we are just meeting ourselves coming and going. And then after you go all day, at the end of the day, do you ever feel like you come to an end of the day and you're just frustrated? I didn't get anything done I wanted to get done. I didn't get anything done that others wanted me to get done. And you feel frustrated and you're struggling. Am I the only one that struggles with this? Okay, I can preach to myself this morning. I also need a good sermon. But I feel like if you're in that same boat, it's common to many of us. In fact, I came across this study that I would think you will really enjoy. It's called, Who Does the Work? Who Does the Work? You realize there's 314 million Americans. But who really does the work among us? There are, of that 314, 114 who are retired. So that leaves 200 million Americans to do the work. Of the 200 million Americans, 107 million are under the age of 18. So let's be honest. We know they're either in school or they're sleeping. So they're not doing the work. They're not doing the work. That leaves 93 million to do the work. Of the 93, 23 million Americans, or 29 million, are unemployed. So that leaves 64 million Americans left to do the work. Of the 64 million Americans left, 58 million work for federal, state, and local governments. So you know they're not really working. Just kidding. I'm sorry. Anyways, of the 6 million Americans left, 5 million are incarcerated, which leaves 1 million Americans left to do the work. And of the 1 million Americans left, 999,998 are either in hospital or mental institution. That leaves two of us to do the work. And personally, I wonder what you're doing. I really do. Now, that was not a real study. You're like, what? What was those numbers? They're not real. It's okay. We're all right. But don't we feel that way sometimes? There are two people working in the world, me and you, and I wonder what you are doing. If you feel that way, I often do. This story in Joshua chapter 10 is perfect for you and me. Joshua, talk about a man with a load on his plate. He takes over for the man Moses, the man who has led the children of Israel faithfully for 40 years. But Joshua isn't just leading a group of complainers through the wilderness. He's taking them into the promised land. It's his job to fight the Amalekites and the Jebusites and all of the different inhabitants in the land of Canaan and to win the land for Israel. This guy, Joshua, has a lot to do. And when we pick this up in the middle of chapter 10, Joshua has been fighting a battle against the Amorites. And he's winning big time. We'll look at this. We'll look at this on Wednesday night. But it looked like, man, it was a coalition of five nations. And how would Israel be able to defeat them? But the Lord was fighting for them and he was winning. He was ahead. But then Joshua realized something. Daylight is waning. The daylight's going away. And if we give them a night to rest and recoup or bug out, then it just means this battle is going to be extended and more Israeli soldiers are going to lose their lives. And Joshua realizes the day is slipping away. He's running out of time. So Joshua does something radical. Radical. Joshua looks up into the sky and he speaks to the sun. He looks up in the sky and he says, "Sun, stand still. Moon, stop moving through the sky." And the Bible tells us that the Lord listened to Joshua and extended the day. Really? Really? How could that be? Really? It reminds me of young Tommy in the children's ministry. Young Tommy was attending his children's ministry class, and his parents picked him up afterwards and said, "What'd you learn today, Tommy?" And Tommy said, "Well, we learned about how God delivered the children of Israel from the Red Sea and the Egyptian army." And the mom said, "Well, tell me about that story." He said, "Well, they were backed into a corner. Mountains on either side, the Red Sea behind them, Pharaoh's army bearing down. It looked like it was curtains for the children of Israel." "Oh, good, good. So what did God do?" "Well, God sent the American forces. Amphibious landing craft started landing behind Moses. And by the thousands, the children of Israel started just being shuffled onto these amphibious landing crafts. And then the Apache helicopters showed up and started just, you know, shooting down the Egyptian army. And the Abrams A1 tanks were surrounding them in the dust and they were confused." And this mom was like, "Tommy, is that what they really taught you in children's ministry today about how God delivered the children of Israel from the Red Sea and the Egyptian army?" And Tommy said, "No, but if I told you what they really said, you really wouldn't believe me." That's how it is sometimes. God stacked water on top of each other and they walked through on dry land. Are you kidding me? Or this story in Joshua 10. God actually stopped the rotation of the earth so that the sun would stand still. Pastor Jason, do you really believe that? Do you realize what would happen if our earth stopped spinning on its axis? I know you're a pastor and you probably got in the ministry because you're not that smart, but do you really believe this? I absolutely do. Now, how did it happen? Is there any evidence that this happened geologically, scientifically? Is there another more plausible explanation that still fits with what the text says to be true? We will answer all of those questions on Wednesday night. I'm sorry, I've got to promote my midweek. That's how I roll. You want to know how it really happened? You've got to be here on Wednesday night. We will look at the various theories of what happened and the evidence for what I believe really happened on that fateful day. All of that and much more on Wednesday night. You got to be here. But for this morning, all I want you to really see and understand is Joshua spoke to the sun. And it allowed him to have more time to finish the work, to complete the task that was before him that day. Now that reminds me of another one whose name was Joshua. Bible students, understand this. Joshua is an English name. Joshua. It's in the English language. But Joshua's buddies didn't call him Joshua. Joshua was a Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew. His friends spoke Hebrew. His name to all his friends was Yahshua. That's Joshua in Hebrew, Yahshua. Now, if that sounds familiar, I've heard that name before. That's right. Because there's another Jewish man named Yahshua that lives years after the Battle of Jericho. At least here on planet Earth, he lived years later. And this man named Yeshua, well, again, Joshua is an English name. Yeshua is the Hebrew equivalent. And the Greek equivalent of Yeshua is Jesus. Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, it's all the same name. It means Jehovah is salvation. And Jesus, just like Joshua, Jesus was able to finish the work God gave to him. Just like Joshua was able to finish the work that God gave him that day on the battlefield against the Amorites, so Yeshua, Jesus, finished the work that God gave him to do. Jesus said so in John chapter 17. Right at the end of his life, at the end of his ministry, he said this, verse will be up on the screen, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work that you have given me to do. That's what it says in Joshua 17. You'll have to believe me. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you have given me to do. Jesus said at the end of his ministry, I have finished the work. I have done everything that you have given me to do, Father. And I read that and I think, really? You finished everything God gave you to do? I can't even finish what I want to get done, let alone what others expect me to get done. And now you're telling me God has a list too? He has things he wants me to get done? How did Jesus finish everything God gave him to do? I suggest to you, listen up. I suggest to you, are you hearing me? I suggest to you, write this down, that Jesus finished the work the same way Joshua finished the work. The same way you and I can finish the work God has given us to do. He did, Joshua did, we need to speak to the Son. Okay, well now this church just got weird. You want me to go outside and look up at the glowing orb and start talking to the Son? That's ridiculous. Yes, it is. Please don't do that. If you do that, don't tell them you go to church here, because that's weird. Don't do that. Don't do that. No, I'm not wanting you to go outside and speak to the glowing orb in the sky. I'm not suggesting we speak to the S-U-N, Son. I'm suggesting that if we want to be delivered, that we need a deliverer to deliver us from the tyranny of the urgent, the tyranny of the schedule, then I do, you do, we need to speak not to the S-U-N, but to the S-O-N. We speak to the Son, and we speak to the Lord, and we say, I need your help today. I want to follow in your footsteps. I want to do what you did. I mean, think about how amazing the life of Christ was. Here he is, the Savior of the world, the weight of my eternal destiny. The weight of your eternal destiny on his shoulders. And yet we never read of him freaking out. Oh, I'm overwhelmed. What verse is that? We never read Jesus having to take Alka-Seltzer to settle his stomach. The task is too great. We don't see him having to do anything we need to do to cope, to get through, to manage. He wasn't meeting himself coming and going. He wasn't stressed out and overwhelmed, and yet he said in John 17, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. So we need to speak to the Son. How, Lord? How, Lord? How? How did you do that? Well, leave the Old Testament for a moment. Leave Joshua chapter 10 and go with me to Mark chapter 1. Second book of the New Testament. We studied the Gospel of Mark for like an entire year here last year, so you should know where it's at. But if not, second book of the New Testament, chapter 1 is conveniently the first chapter in the book. And in this chapter, many of you remember, many of you know, but Jesus has a long day, a full day. It starts out by him preaching in the synagogue, and the people are amazed. They have never heard anyone speak like Jesus spoke. This guy's amazing. Everyone's amazed except for the demon-possessed man in the back row. He starts causing a scene. Now, that's a crazy service to have to deal with. Occasionally, crazy things happen in this room. I remember years ago sitting right over there and someone rushed Pastor Rob on the stage and He's having to like go around the pulpit to make sure he doesn't get pummeled till other guys came and helped. Some crazy things happening here. Of course, my favorite is the answer the cell phone guy. If that's you, really? I mean, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about you whose cell phone goes off. I get that. It happens to me all the time. I forget to turn it off. I'm sitting there enjoying what Pastor Rob is sharing, and then, or I've got like Super Mario Brothers. It's really embarrassing when my phone goes off. But I understand that. So if that happens to you, I get it. I'm not mad. I do it all the time. Reach into your purse, shut it off. Reach in the back pocket, shut it down. What I don't get is the guy that's like, hello? Ah, I'm doing nothing. Just at church. This guy's boring anyways. Well, I'm going to watch the game later for sure. Stop it. Don't do that. But even that guy, even the answer the cell phone during the service guy is better than a demon-possessed man yelling at you in the service. That would be crazy, huh? Trying to make a point. I'm glad that's not happened here. Praise the Lord. Jesus is having a rough morning, full morning, a tough morning. He touches that guy, heals him, frees him. What a Lord we serve. And then after the service, like for all of us, it's lunchtime for Jesus. And he goes, verse 29, but Simon's mother-in-law is sick with a fever, so he has to heal the cook so he can get lunch. And as the sun goes down, they bring him everyone in the town comes to Jesus. Look at it with me, starting in verse 32 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark. It says, at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said, let us go into the next towns, that I might preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. As soon as the sun goes down, everyone comes to Jesus. And he heals them and touches every one of them. If there was ever a day to take a day off the following day, that would be it. Man, I preached, deal with demon guy, healed the cook, ministered to the whole town. I need a break today, like McDonald's tells me. I need a break. If there was ever, that would be the day. But what does Jesus do? He gets up a long while before daylight. He finds a quiet place to have a quiet heart, to talk things over with his Father in heaven. And that's when Peter shows up. Lord, 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 you got to come here. Everybody's looking for you. The day we've waited for has finally arrived. We're going to ride this all the way to the kingship in Jerusalem. Yeah. And what does Jesus say? No, we're leaving Capernaum, which, by the way, was the metropolis of the north. It's where all the cross travel went through. It's where the ships would come in the Sea of Galilee. That was the place to be. It was a very strategic ministry spot. But Jesus says, nah, I'm going to leave that, and we're going to the towns. Now listen, little insight here. The Greek word Jesus used was unwalled village, and what it means is we're going to leave this metropolis, and we're going to Podunkville. We're going to that town with no stoplights. That's where I want to go and minister. That's where I want to go and share the gospel. And no doubt the disciples said, what? Well, you're missing the point. This is your time. This is when you can become king over Israel. This is not what we expect of you. This is not the best plan. But Jesus says, for this purpose, I have come forth. This is why I came out, it says in the English Standard Version. This is why I came out. Came out what? Came out of heaven? I believe he's saying, this is why I came out to pray. This is why I came out to speak to my Father in heaven, to get direction and insight for the day. And this is what he says we're doing, and this is what we are doing. And friends, hear me. I believe this was not just a one-time thing for Jesus, but I believe it was his habit. Because we read in Isaiah 50, long before Jesus lived on planet Earth, Isaiah prophesied this about him. Maybe it'll be on the screen. If not, Isaiah 50. Oh, there it is. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 50, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away from him. Isaiah is speaking prophetically about Jesus. He's speaking prophetically about the Messiah. He says he will, morning by morning, open up his ear to God's word. Open up his ear to his Father in heaven and receive instruction from him. Morning by morning, he'll come to him so he can do what? Look at the verse. So he'll know how to speak a word to him who is weary. We've talked about this before. In fact, we talked about it on Wednesday night. But Jesus knew exactly what to say to every person he encountered. And it was always different. In John chapter 3, he meets Nicodemus, this intellectual Pharisee, and he deals with him on an intellectual level. He says, you must be born again. Well, I can't crawl in my mother's womb. And Jesus just starts to do this theological explanation of salvation. And by all indications, this guy gets saved. But in John chapter 4, he meets this woman by the well, and he doesn't say to her, you must be born again. He hits her right where she's at. Go and get your husband. I don't have a husband. He says, if you keep drinking these waters of relationships, you're going to thirst again and again and again. And he hits her right where she's at. And we don't know exactly what happened to her, but she runs back to town and she goes, come meet a man who's told me everything I've ever done. There's no one like him. Yet in chapter 5, the very next chapter, Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda and he says to that man that's there, he doesn't say, be born again. He doesn't say to that person, go get your husband. No, he'd say, go get your wife. He didn't say that. He said, do you want to be made well? And he hits him right where he's at. How did Jesus know? How did he have such insight to where every single person was at? We can say, well, he was God. But the word of God tells us that morning by morning, he would receive a word to those that are weary. Later in John 5, Jesus says, I of myself do nothing. But as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If there was anyone, friends, if there was anyone who could trust his own understanding, if there was anyone who could set his own agenda, it would have been Jesus. But Jesus said, I of my own self do nothing. He was directed day by day as he spoke to his Father in heaven. As he said, okay, I will talk to him. I will connect with her. He got his directives. And then when Peter comes, it's time. It's time to meet the media. Let's do this. Today, Capernaum. Tomorrow, the world. Jesus could say, I know that's what you think is best, Peter. I know that's what seems like the best thing on the agenda today. But my Father in heaven wants me to go to those small towns and preach the gospel there. And this is why Jesus could say at the end of his life, I finished the work that God has given me to do. Please hear me, hear me, hear me. Wake up if I put you to sleep. Not necessarily everything Peter wanted him to do. Not necessarily everything the disciples wanted him to do. Not everything that was possible to do. Jesus finished the work God intended him to do. And because of that, there was satisfaction of soul. A great contentment that I fear many of us lack. Because Jesus' goal was not to finish the work that everyone expected of him. Not to finish everything possible for him to do. Jesus' passion, our deliverer's passion, was to finish the work his Father had given him to do. And friends, I really believe this is not as pie in the sky as you might think. I know every one of us have jobs. We have responsibilities. We can't just say, well, I'm not going to work today because God told me to drive to Del Mar and look for a man wearing a feathered hat. I mean, let's be real. Let's be real. But we all do have discretionary time. We all have time beyond work, beyond our duties, beyond the parenting responsibilities. There's still time. And if you're anything like me, I fill that time with no borders, no edges. I have things I want to accomplish. and people have things that they want me to accomplish. This is what I want you to get done. And there's so many times I jump in with both feet and try to do everything physically my body can do. But the problem is, operating that way drives you into the ground. I remember when I was pastoring the church in Texas, it was all good motives. I wanted that church to be the best loved, best fed, and I would do anything to see that happen. There were things I wanted to accomplish. There were things, certainly, that people around me wanted to accomplish. And I went into it with all that I had until my body started to break down. As many of you know, I'm a type 1 diabetic, but beyond that, that was doing fine. Blood sugar was regulated. But my adrenal glands started releasing stuff into my body that was actually blocking the insulin I was giving physically to lower my insulin levels. And the doctor said at one time, you've got about a year to live because I don't know how to fix this. And praise the Lord, I just heard his word, shut down, did only what I felt like the Lord was calling, and my body reset after a few months. But here's the deal. There's something in our American society that thinks, if I'm going all the time, then I'm successful. If I'm just crazy busy, then I'm important. You ever seen a chicken with its head cut off? It's crazy busy. It is crazy busy. It's running all around. That's Sunday morning. Why would I do that? So anyways, it's running all, it is crazy busy, but it is dead. Because it's not connected to its head. You and I can get crazy busy. But if we're not connected to the head of the church that is Jesus Christ, you're heading nowhere. Nowhere. And I know that I'm primarily preaching to myself this morning. Thank you for being at my service today. If my wife was here, she'd say, physician, heal thyself. She'd say, you need to listen to this, Pastor Jason. She wouldn't say that because she didn't call me Pastor Jason. But anyways, you understand. I need to hear this as much as any single person. But I think all of us do in some degree or another. I can try to accomplish everything I want to accomplish, everything that people expect me to accomplish. But when I don't, because we won't, we feel miserable. And we end up tired, and I've let him down and her down and myself down. And I start to think about it at night, and I start planning for the next day. And then I realize, am I really being like Jesus? You know, something that is always convicted me about myself and just encourages me about Jesus is he never seems to be in a hurry. I mean, think about the Bible stories you know. When does Jesus seem stressed out? Other than the Garden of Gethsemane, let's give him a break on that one, okay? He's about to die for all of our sins. But in his day-to-day ministry, when did he seem just overwhelmed and stressed out by his schedule? Never. He's never in a hurry. Yet I always am. I always am. There's always someone to call back, another email to send, another person that just texted me. Oh, no, I gotta do this. And yet I look at the life of Christ, and our world says, well, that's good. It means you're in high demand. Listen, Jesus was accused of being a lot of things. He was never meeting the expectations that people put on him. He was accused of being a lot of things, but busy wasn't one of them. And yet people come up to me all the time and they say, I'm sorry to bother you. I know you don't have too much time. I know you are busy. And I appreciate that heart. I know what you're trying to say, that you have limited time and everybody wants a piece of that. And so I know it's super respectful. I get that. But then I read my Bible and I never read someone walking up to Jesus and saying, sorry to bother you. Sorry to stress you out. Oh, can you? I never read that. And again, I'm just sharing with you what God's doing in my heart right now. To be quite honest, the prep time for this Sunday, not what it normally is. I usually get 2 weeks to pray through what's going to happen then. I had a lot less than that this time. So I'm just sharing with you what God shares in my heart right now. It is so important for us to have a time each and every day to get a quiet heart, to have a quiet place, to bring our Bibles and friends, if I can challenge you and encourage you, something to write with. You know, if we never have anything to write down what God is saying to us, do you know what that communicates? Lord, I believe that you have nothing important to say. I mean, think about that. If I told you on Wednesday night, not only are we going to talk about how the long day of Joshua possibly happened, but I'm also going to give you the winning Powerball numbers for the next 7 days. If you really believe that was possible, it's not. That's not going to happen. But if you believe that was true, how would you show up next Wednesday night? Would you show up just with nothing to write on, just like, lay them on me. I can remember seven numbers. Probably not. Probably you would have a pen, paper, recording device, just in case you ran out of ink. If you forgot those things, you would punch your neighbor and steal it from them, because you would realize, this is something I want to write down. This is important stuff. But when I come to the Lord, just, here I am. No notebook. No iPad to write some notes on. Nothing. I'm communicating. I don't really believe you have something important to say. But when I come to church and I come to devotion saying, Lord, I believe you want to speak to me today. Yes, certainly. Certainly. Things that deal with the trials I'm facing and the issues I'm up against. I love how just certain stories, it seems like every day, just leap off the pages of Scripture and meet me right where I'm at. I love time with the Lord and His Word. But also to say, Lord, I have to go to work today. I've got things that there's just no option to accomplish. But is there anything you want me to do today? And what I have found when I'm listening is the Lord will. He'll bring to my remembrance someone He wants me to pray for. He'll put on my heart someone that needs an email. He whispered to my heart, I know you got to go to work. I know you have responsibilities, but in your discretionary time, take your son to the park. Take your daughter to get some ice cream. Talk to that neighbor about Jesus. Write a letter to an email a friend. And you get with the Lord. He might whisper who knows what in your heart. He might say, go get Pastor Jason a birthday present because it's his birthday tomorrow. God might tell you that. He might. Shameless plug, but he might. He might tell you, take your wife out after work to Starbucks and just listen to her for an hour. But when you have a thing or two, it's like, I feel like this is what God wants me to do. Then when the urgency still comes, the pressures will still come. This is what's got to happen. This is what's got to do. We can say, listen. I know what you're saying is interesting, but God told me to take my wife out this afternoon. God told me to invest in my son or my daughter. God told me to bake cookies for Pastor Jason. God gave me something to do today. And when the pressures come, you're able to say, listen, they'll say, you're missing an opportunity. Oh, this is amazing what we have to do. And you say, oh, I know. But I want to listen to the son. I want to listen to what my Father in heaven is wanting to say to me. I realize I will never get everything done that I want to get done. I realize I will never get everything done that others think I should get done. But listen. I can finish the work that Jesus has given me to do. I can. How do you know that? Because Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden, Jesus says, is light. Jesus said, I have finished the work that God has given me to do. Not all the work that people wanted me to do, not all the work that was possible to do, the work that God has given me to do. And I believe, like Jesus, like Joshua, we can accomplish what God has called us to do as we take time to speak to the Son. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. As we make it a priority to meet with Him and let Him and His Word be a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. But how then will everything get done? Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But what are we to do, church? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all those things. The Lord knows the things are important. They are important. But all those things that stress us out, that overwhelm us, give us ulcers and sleepless nights, God says, I'll take care of those things if you take care of this priority. Seek me. Seek my kingdom. Speak to the Son. Then, like Jesus, you and I will be able to say, I finished the work that God has given me to do. Like Paul the Apostle, I finished the race that God has given me, because I'm not stuck in everything I must do. I'm not stuck in everything you think I must do. I'm accomplishing everything our Father in heaven says. This is important. Father, we come before you today and we thank you for just, I think, a reminder that many of our hearts need. Lord, you are our deliverer. You've delivered us from our sin and our shame. And I do pray, if there's anyone here today that that's not the case yet, that today would be the day. If you're sitting here and you're listening to me and you're kind of wondering what in the world we're talking about, because you know your problem is a lot deeper than your schedule. You know you're lost in your transgression and your sins. You know you've tried to somehow work your way into God's favor and it just hasn't happened. Friend, the reality is you need a deliverer. You need a savior. And the good news is that's exactly what Jesus is. He went to a cross to pay for your sin and your shame. The wrath of God was poured out on him, so the wrath of God would never have to be poured out on you. Jesus paid the price. You must believe in him. You must receive him as your savior. And if you need to do that today, just in your own words, cry out to him. Lord, I believe in you. Save me. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Teach me what it means to be a Christian. Teach me what it means to walk with you. But for the rest of us, Lord, who have already done that, already prayed that, Lord, we still need you to be our deliverer. Because sometimes the tyranny of the urgent and the tyranny of our schedules and the tyranny of expectations, Lord, they run us into the ground. Some of us feel like that chicken with its head removed, just busy, 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 but we know there's no life in it. And we read in your word, you say, come to me, you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and it almost drives us to tears because it's so different than what we experience. But Lord, I pray there would be something in our heart today that would decide, no more. Oh, we have responsibilities. We have families to feed and provide for. We thank you for those jobs and those provisions. But Lord, may we also speak to you. May we speak to our Father in heaven and say, Lord, what would you have for me to do today? What would you want me to accomplish? What would you want me to do? And Lord, someday we know we're going to see you face to face. And we're going to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over a many. Lord, I pray that we would tune into you and we would find out what those few things are. The few things that you say, this is my heart for you. And I pray we would do them and embrace them with all that we are. God, may we seek first your kingdom and trust you to take care of all of the things. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.